Om Shanti. Welcome to this wonderful session. How is everyone feeling? Charging up? Feeling full of power within your self-respect? So we have a very beautiful session here with a very special soul. We have Sister Gopi from Australia. Sister Gopi's one of our senior teachers in Australia, and she's been with Baba for 40 years. And she's worn many different hats in Australia. She's been a centre resident for a long time, and she's worked in the interfaith community as well. And as a Lockheed job, she has predominantly worked in the mental health area as a registered nurse with a mental health focus. Worked in crisis teams, one-on-one, in many teams as well. And a hobby that Sister Gopi has at the moment is also writing, and she's written some poetry for BKs, which is very nice. And the topic for today, as you can see, from victim to victory, so drawing on Gopi's vast experience, she'll be talking about the journey that we all take when we feel the world's against us to taking control of our life and our place in this world. So I'm sure you will enjoy, and thanks for coming.
Thank you, Damien. So, Om Shanti, good morning. Who was actually in the last session that was just happening? Can you just put your hands up? Okay, so half of you. Very lovely, very lovely, very beautiful session. This is a little bit more, have a look at yourself in relation to how you have certain attitudes. So, translation okay, everyone? Yeah? Not talking too fast? Good. So, the idea of being a victim, and because it's a mental health related workshop, we're not going to go into too much about looking at, you know, fairly serious stuff here, but more about the attitude at this point in time in your Brahman life that you might have where you do feel like a victim at times. And just so everyone's aware, we all do feel like a victim of something at some stage, right? Yes? Yes? And somewhere in our life we have been a victim of, you know, it might be some financial loss, or it might be a particularly not good relationship, or it may be something to do with our health, or something that's happening in, you know, our sphere of people that we come into contact with. It might be at work or something. So everyone can understand that at some point or another we have felt like a victim of something. Yep. So just to start off a little bit, we'll do a little bit of writing. So if everyone's got their notebooks and pen, the idea behind this workshop is that we can look at how we can change the idea that I am a victim of this into something a lot more positive. So it's a bit of an attitude change, that I am not a victim, yeah? Because often in this feeling of victimization, we feel disempowered and we can feel, you know, somebody else or something else that is bigger and more powerful than I has got some sort of control. But as Brahmins, and if we're really, you know, deeply becoming soul conscious, then if you think about it, we're not a victim of anything, right? If our attitude is right, and that's what we're going to look at a bit today, just because we need to recognize the areas where we actually have been feeling like a victim. So what I want you to do, just for about, just for a few minutes, just with your notebook, everyone got pen and paper, just some of the areas where you think in your life, and maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5, where you actually are a victim. You know, so it might be, I am a victim of my excessive use of my mobile phone, or I am a victim of my habit of dot, 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 whatever that might be. You know, it might be overeating, or it might be, you know, according to the small and smelly, it might be gossiping, something like that. So what are all the things that you're actually a victim of? So if you write a few down, and maybe we can just have music for a couple of minutes while that's happening. So come up with at least 3 things. And if you can't actually recognize that you're making yourself feel like a victim, have a look at where you might be blaming others. You know, blaming whatever it might be, you know, the TV or advertising or your workplace or your boss or your younger sister or whoever it might be. So usually if we're feeling like a victim, then there's some kind of blaming of something external to ourselves going on. Yeah, that fairly clear? Everyone can do that? And if you don't have anything at all where you feel like you're a victim of something, well, well and good, bravo. You're probably well on your way to becoming Karmateet, but think about it a bit. You know, there are these different attitudes where we feel disempowered in some way. I'm a victim of, you know, an angry boss, or you know, being size 22 or something like that. There's different things. So, victim of habits and so on. So, everyone got something? Does everyone have something? Yes? A few of you do? Yeah, great. Okay.
You need more
time with that? So just a few areas. So where you're a victim of something or someone. And I just want you to, with your person next to you or a group of 3, just to share for the next few minutes on those ideas. Whatever you feel like sharing, you don't have to disclose everything, but whatever you feel comfortable in sharing. So just basically to talk about it with whoever's next to you. And if you don't find that you want to talk with the person next to you, find someone else. Just for 10 minutes or so, just have a bit of a chat about this whole idea of being a victim. And maybe, as I said, maybe you don't feel like a victim of anything, but bring that into the conversation. And then we'll have a look at, you know, what it actually feels like. Try and find someone if you haven't found someone, because it's always more enjoyable to do something with a partner. all three of you. You might learn something new. So for people who've just arrived, we're just looking at a little list of how we are a victim in some way or another. And looking at the attitude we have as a victim of financial loss, you know, relationship issues, children don't like me, that kind of thing. So there's lots of different ways we can be a victim. And those of you that have finished, maybe you'd like to write a poem about being a victim. Or a poem about somebody else being a victim. So if you're still blaming anyone or anything, you know, they did this to me or this happened, then you're still in that mode of being a victim. Okay, a couple more minutes. So how are we going with that? Maybe we can just wind up there and save the rest for lunchtime or morning tea. If anyone would like to. Okay, so we'll just stop there, everyone. And I'm wondering, is anyone brave and willing would like to maybe just come up the front and the microphone will be available. Damien's going to get it. If you want to share something on your experience of talking about that, what you might have found that was interesting, just one or two people. Anyone brave enough? Anyone want to come and say something? No. Surely someone in this gathering of great souls. Okay, I'll rephrase that a little bit. Would someone like to come up the front here and just share a few ideas about what you think being a victim is? Anybody? Okay, so nobody on this side. Nobody in the middle. Nobody on this side. Is it because it's too personal? It's interesting. Yes, we have someone. Good. So here comes someone very brave. Looks like Belinda. Great.
Om Shanti, it's Belinda from South Africa. So I found this very interesting because when you spoke about being a victim of maybe a coffee addiction or overeating, I had never thought of it in that way. When I was thinking of victim, sort of being a victim, it was always in relationship with others somehow. So it was very interesting to then look at some of the things, like, for example, for myself, I know that I eat more than what this body needs. So I just had never thought of that I'm actually a victim of my own bad habit.
Mm. Great.
And so that just started me thinking about other things as well. So, of course, if something is out of your control or you feel it's out of your control, then you are a victim of that sanskara or whatever. But just to touch on my original thinking was that in relationship with others, you know, if you feel that someone doesn't see you or doesn't consider you or overrides you, then it's very easy to come into that feeling of being a victim. So this was a nice way of seeing it in a different way. So thank you.
Thank you, Belinda. Very good. So, victim of our habits. And it all comes back to how we think about it and the attitude that we have towards it. You know, and this is going a bit deeper into understanding our thinking, our thought processes, and I guess how we justify certain things. Does anyone else want to come and share something? Otherwise, okay, one more and then we'll move on a little bit onto just some of the signs of it. Thank you. Somebody else that looks familiar.
Om Shanti. I'm Sister Chong from Ipoh, Malaysia. I come from a family of 9 children, and the only breadwinner is my father. So I know what it is to be poor. And I also know how to be greedy, because we don't have very much when we were young. So now I've developed a habit of compulsive buying. So normally when I buy things, I will buy more than I need.
Oh, very honest, isn't she?
And it's something I have to learn to control. Like when I'm overseas, I will buy things for my staff. And I will say, okay, I'll buy one from everybody. And I'll buy some for myself.
Uh-huh.
So it's a habit that grows out of lack when we were young. You never have eggs for breakfast or anything. We have an egg when it's our birthday. So that's how bad we were. So that's something, when I saw that, I was saying, oh, that's something I have to learn to overcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Very honest. So, something I can relate to that a little bit, that maybe in a situation where there has been a lack of something, as in money, then as an older person, yes, we might have more and therefore spend more, but still justifying it. So understanding habits that do tend to make us a bit of a victim of our habit, our behaviour, our way of thinking and so on. And what does it mean? So can everyone see that fairly clearly? I'll read them out. So if you're a victim of whatever it is you identified, then there's a sense of powerlessness about that. Yeah? Sense of powerlessness about being a victim of a particular habit, or, you know, it might be overspending, whatever it is, feeling of being inadequate and a feeling of being vulnerable. Yeah. So, you know, we could look at addictions here, but you know your own things that you're a victim of. So you've got your list. We also might blame others about it or justify it in some way. If it wasn't for someone else, da 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 da. So rather than looking inside to see what we can actually do to change, which is basically what we're here to be doing, Brahmins. And also being a victim means the person's, in a sense, stepping away from taking the responsibility on board, you know, and maybe even wanting to have someone else look after it for them. Yeah? So being rescued by someone else or by something. And there's no escape from feeling like being a victim of something. So remember, it's an attitude, unless a person actually takes responsibility for their own thoughts and their feelings and their actions. And, you know, we don't instantly do that with everything, right? In the whole process of Gyan, we're definitely learning more about how we think and what we think about and our attitude and so on. But just looking at this little area of feeling like a victim, see how you may be able to use Baba's knowledge in a much more empowering way in relation to your, you know, your habit, whatever it is you're a victim of. And there's a few traits that we might have a tendency towards. We're being in this mode of victim. And, you know, the catch cry of someone who's quite a, you know, sometimes we might recognise someone, we might think, oh, this person, they're such a victim, because they're always sort of blaming everyone else, or, you know, thinking, poor me, and so on and so on and so on. And, you know, we may do that just a little bit, but not all the time, right? Brahmins are making efforts, transforming constantly. But we might be, because of our victimization or our habit of being a victim, we might be dependent on others and maybe overly dependent on others. And for, you know, recognition, for approval, for affirmation, and for acceptance. So with your particular victim story, have a look at where that works into it and, you know, what you may be able to do about that as a Gyani soul. Another thing, and probably in more serious cases of being a victim, someone might be very angry or depressed or feel that they've been treated very unfairly. And that could well be true, yeah? But smaller scale victim mode, which is what we're looking at today and looking at, you know, changing the attitude of being a victim, we need to look at how we can transform those kind of ways of thinking about it. So there's different dependencies and different addictions that can be habits within this mode of being a victim. So it might be to food, as has been mentioned. It could be to work, and for some of us work may be even service. You know, just have a look at that. Drugs and alcohol, well, that's not usually part of our agenda, but sometimes prescription drugs, pain relief and so on can come into it. Shopping, gambling, social media, this kind of thing. So these are some of the things that if I'm in a chronic victim mode, I can be acting out in those ways as well, or taking those supports. And also may have an inability to trust people and feel comfortable with other people, or feel safe or secure. And sometimes even another thing that can show up in this victim mode is that a person might be become very hard-hearted because they don't want to be vulnerable. And sometimes, you know, we might hear that being vulnerable is not a good thing. It's a sign of weakness, etc., etc. But we have to remember that there are times when we may feel quite vulnerable about something. It might be a loss or there's some grief happening. And it's actually okay to feel like that, because otherwise what are we doing with those feelings? We're not facing them, we're suppressing them. We need to acknowledge feelings, not pretend they're not happening. And that's another area completely, but it's also connected here to this. And so, let's see, is the bubble there? Is that funny? Oh no. Screen in front of me has gone a bit strange. I don't know what it's doing back there. Sorry about this. Anyway, I've got some notes here, so I'll keep referring to those. But so the inner work in changing this whole idea that I'm a victim, or I have an attitude towards myself in some way that I'm a victim. So what's the inner work that I need to do? And we have to have a look at the choices we make, the strengths we have, and also the beliefs that we have. Because as well-intended as we may be, we might have a belief system that totally adheres to the idea of being a victim. Want that? Yeah, something's happened. So our choices, our strengths, our beliefs, these are all pretty important factors in the whole equation of removing ourselves from feeling victimized. And I think I've... brilliant, thank you. So if you're not sure of your beliefs, and as BKs, yes, we believe we're a soul, we believe in Baba, we believe in what Baba's telling us, but we've also got beliefs from the past, so from our experiences before Gyan, and some of those beliefs we may not even know about, but they're still operating. So it's pretty important to actually get to know yourself in such a way that you know what your beliefs are. For example, around the idea of family, for example, what that means to you. To find about, say, 10 beliefs on what family means to you, just to look at all the ways you might say in relation to family, I should, I must, or I ought to, in relation to certain things in regard to family. Do you understand that? So if you're bringing those factors in, should, must, and ought to, in relation to your beliefs about family, it'll give you an idea of what you actually think about family, what family means. You know, so for example, one idea might be that these should be all similar. The family should all be similar minded. So that might be a belief, but it's not necessarily the reality. So it may cause conflict of things. So recognizing what your beliefs are and recognizing how they come into play with your ideas about, you know, family or work or spiritual life or anything really. So another way of getting to know yourself a bit more. So anyway, beliefs, important things. So accepting our life's choices. As a Brahman, we look at life through a different lens to what we had previously looked at, generally speaking, because now we're having the opportunity to be attuned to the wisdom of Baba. So we're going to look at our life's choices in probably a different way, but also accepting those life's choices that I've actually made, the choices in my life that has brought me to this point that I'm at right now. You know, so that sense of responsibility means I can be a bit freed up from the idea of being a victim about whatever it is. And also that I can't blame others for choices that I have made as an adult. Okay, so it's actually my responsibility. So coming away from blaming others, they talk about the blame game. Someone's always playing the blame game. Then they are a victim of many things. And also knowing that I, as I mature, I determine how my self-esteem may develop. So maybe, you know, whatever situations you've had in the past, you know, good ones, not so good ones, etc., etc., but being aware that as an adult, someone over the age of 18, there are many life's choices and have made, and one of them is to be a BK, right? And follow through on those choices. So you've made those choices. You're responsible. And determining how you feel about any event or actions that you're involved in or aware of. So it's important if we are, you know, doing whatever it is we're doing, that it's relevant to us, that we feel comfortable with it, we feel safe, we like it, etc., etc. And determining how I think or feel about myself and other people. So we have that choice as well. So to really, you know, move away from a mode of being or feeling like a victim, then we need to be very self-conscious. And if that's not working, then we need to practice being much more self-conscious, because this is really the bottom line for us in many ways. So So just a bit more on choices and strengths and beliefs. So this whole aspect of whatever's happened, finding meaning in it. There's one thing, you know, Baba will say, everyone will say, all Brahmins will say, you know, pack up the past. But it's not that we can just instantly necessarily do it, especially if it's still causing some sort of disruption in our consciousness. So to be able to find meaning to events where there's been, and these are related to being, you know, feeling like a victim. I might have felt angry about something, I might have felt very negative, depressed, there's hurt, there's pain, I've felt insulted, etc., etc. So to be able to, at this point in time, whatever that is, because they're all like burdens, right? Feeling like a victim is a burden. So to be able to find meaning to that and even, you know, reframe it in such a way, like we can't actually forget, or we can't change the past, whatever circumstances have been there, but we can actually very much change the way we think about it. So thinking about, you know, this scenario in a different way will give it some meaning. And we all know, I mean, karmically, right? We all know about karma and we all know about our role and our responsibility throughout the whole cycle, actually. So reframing things or finding meaning in things that have no meaning seemingly, but if it's hard to do that, then find someone who you trust and can help you do that, because it's quite possible to do it with many sorts of situations where you might have felt like a victim. And continuing on with this about choices and strengths, so taking an honest inventory of my strengths, abilities, talents, virtues and weaknesses, seeing what I can And I remember one year in Madhuban, Brother Ken suggested, and I actually did this a couple of times, but he suggested that you know, write to people, Brahmins, who know you, and get some feedback from them about your strengths and your weaknesses. And it can be quite a helpful thing to do, because we would think everyone else has our best interests at heart. And stop feeling sorry for myself, because if I feel I'm a victim, I will be feeling poor me. I mean, you know, why is nobody else feeling this or having this situation like this, whatever, whatever. So trying to stop feeling sorry for the self, because it's not a strength, yeah? And recognizing irrational beliefs. So what are they? So basically we might have beliefs that we've adhered to for a long time, since before Gyan, that are not actually worthwhile, or they're not even true, but we haven't quite realized that. So, you know, not to be influenced by those these days, recognizing what they are. And even with our thoughts, as you probably know, not everything we think is true, right? So sometimes we can think, and this is the whole thing of changing waste thoughts, you know, if we stop to think about what we're thinking, if we're having waste thoughts, they're not true. The eternal scheme of things, yeah? Being self-conscious, seeing others in that way, Yeah, really seeing the most elevated. None of our waste thoughts are true. So recognizing these irrational beliefs. And also, I may need priorities and goals. So it's always good to do a bit of an inventory. And I mean, I've been in Gyan 40 years and I do this quite regularly. And probably because my Brahman life and my mental health work started parallel. So both happening at the same time. But I've always looked at ways to improve and things. I've always looked at the things that are, you know, maybe unnecessary or getting me down, or I don't need to be thinking that way anymore. So recognizing your priorities, you know, because they change. So at a particular age, we might have certain priorities, but maybe as we get it, for those of you that are a bit older, maybe your priorities and goals need to change if they haven't already as you've become older. And that's, you know, that's being kind to ourselves. Or we can still feel like a bit of a victim, yeah, as an aged person, for example. So organizing my priorities and goals, and then this is some very basic Raj Yoga things Baba has said. So Raj Yoga encourages us to end the culture of blaming others and to take personal responsibility, therefore, to not be a victim. None of us are victims in the true sense of things. But we may be having that kind of attitude about this thing or that thing or something else. So the Gyan, and, you know, it's our number one thing, being self-conscious. And deeply practicing that. And also in our connection with Baba, really tapping into virtues, you know, especially those five innate original virtues. So really experiencing those, becoming those, feeling them. This is empowering. And the victim mentality lessens. And also in this, realizing others' parts. So the roles that other people have and the part that they're playing, you know. I mean, it's a very amazing point of Gyan to understand everyone's playing their part. So why do I need to in any way feel anything about that, somebody else's part? Because what am I trying to do? Control it or something? Or maybe understanding it is good, but not feeling a victim because of somebody else's part, you know? Might be their part to be like that. So what's my part? What should I be doing? And that is taking the responsibility not to be victimized in that situation. So becoming free from blame by understanding each one's part, and also karmic law. And that drama's a game, and that drama's actually perfect in its imperfect way. So whatever's happening, once it's happened, yes, that's drama. But you know, we don't know what will happen next. You know, Baba says we're trickle-dashi, yes. But honing that to a really fine attunement, maybe we'll do it by the end of the confluence age. But drama is, oh, it's been described as, you know, Baba's favourite daughter, yeah? So drama's a game, and you know, that really is the point to keep us alive. Also, I create my own thoughts. Back to thoughts again. I need to recognise that my thoughts are not always true or correct. So I might be feeling a victim of something, but it's not true, really, in the scheme of things. Becoming aware of my feelings and emotions, and recognizing and naming emotions, respectfully sit with them rather than ignore or suppress them. And sometimes culturally, you know, it's been learnt not to acknowledge emotions. Some cultures are very emotional, and you know, you can read their emotions very well, very strongly, maybe too emotional. But we do need to acknowledge emotions that we're having, not pretend they're not happening or suppress them or avoid them. You know, they have to be actually acknowledged, and then they will dissipate if they're, you know, negative emotions, not pure feelings. And old beliefs and attitudes about myself and others can keep me stuck in the past. So in this mode of a victim of something, if I've got these old beliefs and attitudes, so we have to keep going back to our first lesson, soul consciousness. Okay, so there's an exercise to do that maybe we can do up till about 5 to 12, 15 minutes or so. I'll put it up and I'll read through it. Sorry, someone. Okay, so this is an exercise. You might want to, those of you taking photos, you might want to grab a photo of that, but something that you can do now if you want to. So think of a situation where you have felt like a victim. And there's about 10 or 12 questions to ask yourself. First one, what am I not doing? So what do I need to do to step out of that feeling? What do I need to do? Who am I taking responsibility for in the situation? So this is another interesting question. Is it for yourself or is it for someone else? Because also if we're into being, you know, pleasing people, which is not a good thing to do, excessively particularly, then we might be taking responsibility for other people more than we need to be. So who am I taking responsibility for in this situation? Or who is taking responsibility for who? Someone else might be taking responsibility for me. So think of your own situation with one area that you feel like a victim. Am I allowing the other or others to take responsibility for their actions? So this is an interesting one. And always, you know, with mental health, you know, within the Brahman family, everyone wants to be very loving, very kind, very sweet, and we aim to do that, but you know, sometimes it's just a little unbalanced because we do it too much, maybe for the wrong people who are taking advantage in some way, and that can be friends, family members, work colleagues, and so on. So do recognize that within yourself. Some of you are smiling. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. But do recognize where you may be doing that. because it can keep you in the mode of being a victim. And they call that these days fawning. So there's fight, flight, freeze, and now there's a fourth, fawning. So over trying to please people, over pleasing others. So am I allowing the others to take responsibility for their actions? And if the answer is no, well, why not? Who has the power in this situation? So how do I know that? And how do I know that? So these are deep questions to ask about your situation. And if someone else has the power, obviously it's, well, what are you allowing to happen and allowing yourself to be disempowered? So who has the power in the situation? How do I know that? You know, I might have some feeling in my stomach or my chest or something every time I see that particular individual, whatever, something like that. So have I agreed to do more than I want to do or are able to do? And this may relate to a work environment, could relate to a service environment. Am I doing more than my fair share of the work? So if the answer to that is yes, then maybe you need to look at why is that happening? So you're handing over your power. What boundaries do I need to set up? So assuming everyone here knows what boundaries are. Yes. Boundaries basically are the guidelines as to how we would like to be treated by other people. So boundaries. So what boundaries do I need to set up? So if I haven't got good boundaries set up, I might be getting, you know, walked over a bit. And yes, there I am, a victim of whoever, whatever the situation is. Am I using Gyan and Yoga in this situation? Of course, one would hope we would say yes. Am I taking care of myself properly? So all those things we know about self-care, looking after, you know, food, eating, health, medical health, psychological health, exercise, you know, getting enough sleep, various factors along that line. So those things, taking care of myself. And also, you know, having good relationships with people, that also helps. How would I ideally like to feel about this situation? So what would your perceived outcome of this particular exercise be? You know, write that down, what you would like it to be. And what action do I need to take to have the best possible outcome? So what do I need to do? So we'll, maybe you can start looking into that for the next 10 minutes or so, and if not completing it now, then, you know, take it away as homework and use it as a template for any situations where you might feel like you're being a victim. So maybe we can have some meditation music or something, or 10 minutes of and yes, someone's asking. I was going to say we could do this and then do questions, but should we, would you rather have some questions first? Yes. Gopi. Gopi has a question.
Om Shanti. On one side, it was written we should not be sorry about ourselves, but we should have mercy on ourselves. Is that what Baba is saying? So where do you see the difference between these two things?
What did it say about not being sorry?
In the
oh, okay.
Slide
for
before.
Me.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so this feeling of poor me, especially if it's like quite a ongoing feeling, I mean, we don't want to feel like that, do we? If we're feeling poor me, it's excessively negative towards ourselves, yeah? Yeah? And the other side of it, having mercy on ourselves, it's a good question actually, having mercy on ourselves is all about, well, from a Gyani perspective, having mercy on ourselves is about doing the right things with Baba's Srimat meditation, basically. That's having mercy on ourselves. Yeah? So having an attitude of poor me is quite different to having mercy on ourselves. Does that answer that? Yeah. Yes? How we can have merciful feelings towards ourselves, that's okay. Yeah, well, self-compassion. I mean, that's a word that hasn't been mentioned today. But everyone heard of self-compassion? There's a huge movement in our world about self-compassion. Sarah Eager has done self-compassion sessions, I think, here, yeah? We have to be our own best friend. We have to be kind to ourselves. We have to like ourselves. We have to love ourselves. Check all these things out if you're doing that. This is self-compassion. And the merciful side of it, more in relation to, you know, Baba's knowledge, having yoga, doing the right Brahman things, Amritvela, Merli, and so on. This is being merciful for ourselves. Self-compassion is loving the self, feeling that you're okay, you know. There's a common thread in today's world that people have a little mantra going around in their head. Anyone know what that mantra is? I'm not good enough. So I even had one client, she had I'm not good enough tattooed on her wrist. So that was quite sad. But anyway, yeah, so a lot of people are feeling like that. We also, at some point, can be feeling like that, but we are good enough. So self-compassion really raises the bar on how we think and feel about ourselves. And as far as poor me goes, in Alcoholics Anonymous, AA and so on, they talk about, you know, pity parties. So people having so much self-pity, oh, you know, this happened and that happened and poor me, and, you know, like a real extreme of how bad things are. But eventually one has to take a step in a direction of taking some responsibility. Yeah. Question? No? Sorry. Any other questions? Did that fulfill the answer? Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Gopi. I just have a question in regards to am I allowing others to take the responsibility for their actions? What I find in practical life is if there is someone in the position of authority, how do you work around that, allowing others to take the responsibility for their actions? Because there are situations
We all know when you're not able to say anything, but still you know something's not working right. How do you work around that?
That's a good question. So we've probably all encountered that in some way. And it's going to be harder for people that have a bit of a fear or aversion to authority for whatever reasons. But, one's own self-esteem and not feeling like a victim of, you know, some bossy other person or whoever it is, you know, that we would not necessarily converse with them about it. That might be the worst thing to do. Baba also talks about doing service through the mind, so we can work on things through our very positive, powerful thoughts towards changing the situation and not thinking negatively of someone else who is playing their part, right? Because everyone's going to play their part in the way that they do it, but it's more about how I personally am inwardly responding to that. So if it's causing me some sort of pain, sorrow, suffering, what do I need to do to kind of bring myself out of that? In the Brahman family, for example, there are more senior people, we might talk to them, or more trusted people in that way, on that level. Otherwise, we're just going to have to talk to Baba and use our yoga power and have faith in that. And some things take a long time, right? Sometimes we might feel that this really needs to happen this week, or in 6 months, or this has been happening for 5 years, you know, whatever. But it's really very much about our internal attitude, like anything, you know. We can be having a situation where we're suffering a lot, the other person's completely oblivious, or we're having a situation where someone's doing something and it's not affecting anyone else, but it's really affecting me, so it's something I need to have a bit of a look at too. Yeah. So, Om Shanti. Are there any more questions?
Just a more general one. We noticed that conspiracy theories are very popular lately. And I was just wondering whether you think that would be a consequence of people feeling that they are victims?
Possibly. There's a lot of, the whole world is the Lockic world. Very much about blaming others for this and that and the other, yeah? So whatever people are thinking and doing, I mean, you know, one country war here and they're blaming them for doing something they shouldn't be doing and this should be, all that sort of thing, you know? But conspiracy theories, yeah, definitely. I think people would feel they would be feeling victims of a world that they can't relate to, and I mean, this is just my thoughts off the top of my head now. I have a relative who's into it, but they can't relate to the way the world is now, and it's just too hard for them. So it's a lot easier for them to blame here and there and that. Yeah. Not bad people. But just, you know, misguided because we're in such funny times.
Thank you. I wanted to ask that quite a few of these signs, if we see in other people, how do we help them to get out of it and to help the whole situation in general. Maybe it's a long answer, or maybe it's meant to be another session, I don't know, or if you can answer that.
Okay, how do we help other people, specifically with their mental health issues, that sort of thing?
When you see all these, or some of, quite a few of these signs of, you feel the person is behaving like a victim, quite a few times, then how do you help the person to get out of it and help the whole situation in general?
Okay, well, I hope that today's session has raised enough awareness for you to be able to recognize things more and see where you might be able to help. I mean, we've got, what have we got? What are our weapons? Yoga power, our understanding, and knowing that sometimes it's not the best thing to have a conversation, but sometimes it can be good to have a very emotion-free conversation. You know, because if we're trying to have a conversation with someone who's, well, they're obviously in their state of mind, but if we're very emotional, as in, you know, feeling upset, distressed, angry, sad, whatever, it's not going to help. Yeah, we should not converse at that time. We're just going to create something more. But Mensa Seva, definitely, with Baba, of course, and understanding that each one is playing their part as well. Sometimes we cannot fix somebody else, but we just have to have really good wishes and, yeah, keep sending them. I mean, it's hard if it's a close family member or someone we're with often, but we have to be very loving and detached, and really understanding detachment, that it's, you know, not being influenced by, in that sense. Yeah. Yeah. Does that help? All right. I think that might be it. Anybody else? Any questions about anything? There's if anyone's here from the Mental Health Advisory Group, just a little announcement from me here. We are planning to have a meeting in Gyantsarova tomorrow from 4 till 6. However, there's not going to be any buses from Pandavbhavan until 4. So Sarah and myself will probably get here about 4:30. And at this stage, I don't know which room has been designated, but it's usually one of the ones in the training section. So there's no travel between here and Pandavbhavan tomorrow. Holy. Okay, thank you, everyone. And please do that little exercise.
Thank you, Sister Gopi. These are very special. I think we all feel very empowered now and got some tools to move forward with. And we've got other mental health sessions coming up as well. Well, this was a self-empowerment session, but yeah, have a look at the timetable.